Well, during the Egyptian Revolution, it was very largely young people who helped motivate and inspire those who helped to oust President Hosni Mubarak. But now that they're moving towards a democratic election and a new government in Egypt, the youth are kind of having trouble staying in the center of the conversation there. We're joined again today by Egyptian blogger and the regional director of the American Islamic Congress, Dalia Ziada. Dalia, we've spoken to you before about the power of the young people in Egypt to affect political change, and it appears that they're kind of running into roadblocks now. What's happening?
Hi, good morning. I agree with you. The situation in Egypt now is very strange. There are a lot of things happening that you can't easily interpret or expect the outcome of it. For example, recently we've seen the Salafists are spreading. Salafists, by the way, are the religious extremists. Islamists mainly. They are spread everywhere, and they are trying to spread their extremist ideas to the whole community. For example, in Upper Egypt, the south of Egypt, they cut the ear of a man merely because he rented an apartment in his house to a Christian woman, which was very shocking to everyone. And we didn't really expect that this could happen while in Egypt, a country which has 10% of its population as Copts. The bad thing is that also besides the Salafi issues, on the other hand, there is some sort of suspicion between the young people and the military high council, unlike what we've seen during the revolution of people shouting in love for the military. Now it's completely changing. There are claims that the military is torturing the people who were taken from protesters and now in jail instead of, you know, trying them. So the situation is not nice at all.
That's Dalia Ziada, an Egyptian blogger and regional director of the American Islamic Congress. We're also joined by Nicholas Kristof, columnist for the New York Times. Nicholas, you're listening to Dalia, and you just returned from Egypt after a long period of some incredible reporting from that country. Are you seeing the same sort of shift in which young people are beginning to become suspicious of the military and in which they're beginning alarmed by the rise of some extremist groups?
Yeah, I think that young people are, and especially the secular pro-democracy types in Cairo, are finding all of a sudden that the military, which they had been chanting slogans in favor of, you know, are now arresting them, in some cases torturing them, and often really behaving as if they really want to dial back the revolution. And more broadly, there do seem to be strains in society. As Dalia mentioned, you have the Salafis coming out. There is a certain amount of apprehension about the Muslim Brotherhood's activities as they enter the system. And, you know, frankly, just foreign reporters now, you know, when we go out to cover especially stories that might portray Egypt in a bad light, then you have these mobs sometimes emerging and chasing reporters away. But, you know, the other thing that I would say is that every democratic revolution I've ever covered has been a lot like this. I mean, the truth is that when you take the pressure, when you take the lid off a pressure cooker, it's pretty messy for a while. And this reminds me an awful lot of South Korea after democracy came there and after Indonesia. And, you know, all in all, I absolutely agree it's pretty messy, but I do think that it will settle down, and I feel reasonably good about where Egypt is today.
That's interesting. So based on your experience, even if it's alarming, a sort of slow motion coup d'etat by the military sometimes is more of a transitional stage to an ultimate democracy maybe a few years out.
Yeah, I mean, the military in Indonesia, for example, played a somewhat similar role as sort of a pillar of society, of providing order. And, I mean, obviously, I'm aghast when the military goes in and arrests pro-democracy activists and submits, you know, them to electric shocks, this kind of thing. But to me, at least, the result may be somewhat reassuring for a lot of Americans who look at Egypt and think, oh, goodness, there's going to be another Iranian revolution. I mean, the truth is that probably there's going to be a lot more continuity than Americans had expected, and that probably the risk is more that Egypt will change less than is optimal than that it will change more than is optimal. I think, frankly, Egypt is, my guess is that civil society will be a little bit stronger, that there will be somewhat less torture, people will be somewhat more outspoken, that you won't have a cult of personality around the next president, but that all in all, there will be a considerable degree of continuity.
Well, we have this announcement from the Egyptian military that parliamentary elections are being put off until September. Opposition leaders say they need more time to organize themselves into political parties. They were originally scheduled for August. There's a lot of disappointment now about that delay. Is that, in your mind, is that something, anything the international community needs to be worried about? Is that a sign of problems?
I think it's worth worrying, but I think that that expressing our worries just will get us in trouble. This is really something that Egyptians are going to have to work out for themselves, and I think too much hand wringing from the outside is just going to make matters worse. I do think that we can usefully raise the issue of human rights abuses by the military because we have such close ties to it, and there's no question that the military is behaving in ways that are utterly inappropriate. I mean, it used to be that the police was responsible for torture, and these days the police are so discredited and demoralized that they don't really they aren't in the torture business so much, and the military is taking it over, and that really is an unfortunate sign, and I think we can reproach them for that. But in terms of how elections are organized, I think we ought to be pretty careful about expressing our views too much.
Well, Nicholas Kristof, let me just ask you, during all this chaos, if things don't turn out ideally, if there are troubles and rumblings in Egypt, does that change the country's legacy, the legacy of the revolution and its influence on other countries in the region?
Well, people were probably too exhilarated in January, February about where things might go. All in all, I think this is going to look like other countries and is going to follow a trajectory that still is going to mean more democracy, less repression, and a greater role for democracy throughout the Arab world.
Nicholas Kristof, columnist for The New York Times, now in New York after a long time in Egypt. And we also spoke with Dalia Ziada, Egyptian blogger and the regional director of the American Islamic Congress. Thank you so much.